Thank you for coming and joining us. You know, appreciate your presence here. Like I said, we've been on this great faith series. We need great faith to meet great challenges in life. We started Great Faith, the series, during the prayer and fasting. You know, last Wednesday when we had our service, I wanted to share with you some of the breakthroughs that our people have experienced during the prayer and fasting. But when I messaged out to all of them, and no one kind of replied to me, and I thought it was a bit unusual. You know, normally when we have, you know, every year when we do our fast and prayer in January, you know, we hear a lot of powerful stories of what God is doing in people's lives. And I kind of like was wondering, you know, what's happening. You know, it's a bit unusual that I didn't get anything back except for one person. But I had my LG, had my life group last weekend on Friday and then Saturday, and I sat down with these guys and I says, you know, tell me what's your experience with the prayer and fasting. Did you get any breakthroughs? And lo and behold, one by one of them was just telling us and sharing how great God has been giving them breakthroughs. You know, one guy came up and said, you know, on the second day of prayer and fasting, I had this breakthrough and somebody awarded me a project with 50 properties that I can now arrange for funding. And now I'm so busy. I'm meeting up valuers. I'm meeting lawyers. I'm meeting bankers. I'm trying to get things done. And it was a fantastic breakthrough from him. And I said, wow. And another guy said that, no, I had building plans with the government, which has been giving him a lot of problems. They're not been approving it. They have been delaying it. And he said, on the second day of prayer fasting, I got the approval. That's just amazing. You know, give God praise for that. Come on. You know? And there's so many others, and one lady was saying, you know, there was this colleague of hers in office who had really offended her because she was saying some things, she did some injustice to her or something, and she was really offended. But during the fast and prayer itself, this colleague of her actually came up to her and apologized, you know, and even invited her to her wedding. And so there was restoration of relationship, and God is doing something great. Right. So it was wonderful. In fact, I think one of our worship volunteers, you know, was also sharing that, you know, she was so kind of like anxious that if she comes out and volunteer for worship, she's going to have a hard time. But during the prayer night itself, as she stepped up on stage, you know, God gave her just the peace, just the confidence, and just to worship lead the night. And it was amazing. And so we hear all these wonderful stories, you know. And when I thought about that, I thought I should let you know that we have life groups, all right? We have life groups in our church, and we have, in fact, 3 life groups. And no more battery? Okay. That's my 3 life groups. We have the hashtag Best Life Ever life group. And then we have the Great Faith, of course, inspired by what we're doing, Great Faith series itself. And then we have the Iron Sharpened Iron, you know, the Best Life Ever Life group. You know, is Shelley here with us tonight? Well, Shelley was the one who gave me that name. Said, you're going to have this name as the Best Life Ever Life group, you know. And so that was our first life group kind of like 2 years ago, you know. And we had a few of us, and he has grown. And of course, like I said, Great Faith is one of our latest life groups here. We inspired by the Great Faith series itself. And then we have the Iron Sharpened Iron. It's a men's group that I have on Friday nights downstairs. And I just want to encourage you, if you have not, you're looking for a life group, you're not into any life group, you might want to sign up with us. All right. As you leave later, there's a piece of paper down at the table. There you can sign up. And this is what we're doing. We're doing a series of studies. These are publications from every nation itself. These are our very own publications that we have. It's 6 booklets of 6 lessons each. It talks about the life of victory. It talks about how we walk with God, how we learn about the Father's love, how we hear His will and do His will. You know, so it's very foundational, and it's an amazing discipleship package here that we have. All right, and the other one that I'm doing with the men is the Iron Sharpens Iron. All right, it's about man and his family, man and his business, man and his God, and we're doing that every other Friday night downstairs. So if you're interested, all right, please sign up. We have a life group. If there are more people signing up, then we'll probably have to open up more life groups. All right? So that's our discipleship journey. Then we engage, we establish, we equip you, and then we empower you to go out to be leaders. All right? So this is basically what we do as Every Nation Church. Our vision is really to honor God and make disciples. That's the only thing that we do. You know, you just see it in our blood. All right? We honor God. And we just make disciples, all right? Because God's commandment was us to make disciples, all right? And so as we do that, our series in Great Faith last week, I talked about that we have only one mission in life, all right? The only mission in life is that we are to be a good witness for God, all right? We have missionaries who go to the ends of the earth, all right, to share the word, to share God's love. But for some of us, our mission is really just across the dining table, all right? That we are to be good witnesses to our family, to our parents. We be good witness to our friends next door, to our colleagues, all right? So that we can actually share the love of God to them, all right? So it's just across the table. So for some of us, it's simple as that. We don't have to go across the world, but that's our one mission, okay? And then we talked about that faith is seeing the unseen. All right, faith in seeing the unseen, you know, and that we can believe God absolutely, all right, to help us to overcome our challenges, all right. And then today we're going to talk about no shrinking back. Okay, we need great faith that we don't shrink back, all right, in our walk with God. All right, so that's where we are. We're journeying there, and. Our text for today comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 39. Can you see it? Right. All right, let's read this together. I don't want to sound like a school teacher, but it would be good to read this together. All right, so remember those earlier days of after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have believed and are saved. You know, so that's where our title comes from, Miriam. God doesn't like the guy who shrinks back. All right, so we're going to talk about no shrinking back today. Right, we need great faith that we can stand firm. All right, even when the worst things come against us in life, we will not be shaken. All right. So the thing is that God encourages us to say that His righteous ones will live by faith. Okay. One of the things we also talked about during the fast and prayer was that faith is trust. All right. Faith is trust. Everybody say, turn to your son and turn to your neighbor and tell him, faith is trust. All right. We all apply faith every day, right? We live faith every day. Yeah. All right, when you wake up, what do? You breathe. Yeah. You don't wake up and you debate to yourself, should I breathe or should I not breathe? Right? You just wake up and breathe. You don't think that maybe the air is not clean or maybe it's, you know, you just don't debate to yourself on that, right? You just breathe because you know there's air. Okay, that's faith itself, all right? And after you wake up, what do? You go to the toilet. I mean, you know, you have the urge. You just go. You don't debate, you know, if I go to the toilet, will it flush? Will it? You don't do that. You just believe that, you know, you need to go. You do your business. And then you get up, you flush. All right? It's just that. All right? So we apply faith every day of our lives. All right? So I took a picture of eggs. Right? After that, you make a breakfast. And, you know, when you go to the supermarket, the label tells you that these eggs are enriched with omega-3, they're enriched with vitamin E, all right, and this has less cholesterol, and in a sense, we take it by faith. Am I right or not? And we pay even a little bit more because they have all these extra ingredients in there, all right? So, But if you put down there made in China, you're going to get worried a bit. Some time ago, there was this video that went around, right? That China manufactures eggs. It's synthetic. Is that fake news or is that real news? I don't know. But whether it's fake or real, it affects us, right? I mean, your faith is shaken a bit, all right? But we said that faith in God is absolute. We can trust in Him because He is dependable, right? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Bible is the same yesterday, today, forevermore. And because He's constant, we can rely on it. We can trust Him absolutely. And that's where we are in terms of faith, all right? And so the big question for us is, not will we live by faith, because we actually live by faith every day, all right? It's a question of faith in whom, right? Whom do we put our faith in? Right? I think that's the very big question that we have today, all right? And so coming back to the main text itself, here you find that the Hebrew believer itself, okay, God is encouraging them and saying that, remember those days when you had a great conflict and you're full of suffering. Not only was the conflict great, you know, they had full of suffering. I mean, I know that's really bad, all right? But God is telling them, before, remember, it was like that and you have overcome it. So in effect, what He's insinuating is that today, the Hebrew believer is going through another period of persecution, another period of suffering, and their faith is shaken. And here Paul wrote this to say, remember what happened before. You went through it. You can do it. God is there. Have confidence. Don't throw away your confidence. Believe that God can pull you through. And so he was encouraging him to do that. All right. Persecution in that kind of manner, you know, not many of us would have experienced that. All right. I mean, I've not experienced that. I've never been persecuted to the extent that I lost my property, that somebody took my property away, or I lost my job, all right, or I get beaten up and all that. But I know of someone who has gone through some severe persecution, and we're going to hear from him a little bit tonight, all right? I'm going to ask Pastor Daniel to come up, all right? You know, Pastor Daniel is our pastor from Every Nation, Iran, all right? He looks like one of us, right? I mean, he looks like a Malaysian. He's been here how many years now?
7.
He's been here 7 years now. He's en route to U.S. If you are taking pictures, don't post it, okay? Because it's not good for him. So he's been here with us, but he has gone through a lot. I mean, if you know, we can never actually feel what the Bible talks about in persecution and all that until you hear from a guy who actually has walked through it. So I just want to have him share a little bit about his testimony, what he went through, and what made him hold on to his faith. All right, Pastor.
Okay, hi everyone. Good evening. I'm so glad to be here with all of you. Actually, for all these, in the past weeks, I came here, I spent time more in the sound booth, but today is a privilege to be here. So, Pusain asked me to talk about how we can really stand in our faith and not shrinking back. So before I share, I want to just give you a very quick background of myself. I came to the Lord in 11 May 2000. I never forget that night, that how I came to the Lord. Through one of my friends that shared with me the gospel, and then I became a Christian. I wasn't in my home country the time that I got saved. So after I got saved, after a while, I back to my country, and by knowing that it's really a challenge for me to be in the country, in Iran, and having faith, having Christian faith, it would be a challenge. So being a Christian in Iran is not really easy. It might lose your job, you might lose your family or your property, as Pastor Pusain mentioned, or so many things would be happen to you, being persecuted, being beaten up. And you know, the way that the people saying that I don't want to put it for the government or politic things, because I believe that it's because the people live in the darkness and they don't like the light. And the way that the people in my country look at Christianity and you convert to Christianity is, if they persecute you, it means for them that they serve God. because you already, you are an apostate, you are a person that out of faith. So that's my background, and that's how the condition in Iran is happening right now for all the Christians. So a lot of story happening to me, but I want to just take you to a moment that we were conducting a prayer meet in 2009, and I was with us with 25 of my leaders in that place. It was out of the Tehran, and we were praying together, and suddenly the intelligence security officers attacked to that place. It was a big number of them that attacking to that place. So they broke broke the door. They just came out with the guns and with the mask, and they just we were surrounded by them. So anyway, it's a long story. We go for a very pre-interrogation there. I was there with my family. My daughter Saba was at that time was 6 years old, and my son was 1 year old. And they were there, and they were just crying. And so many things happened. We go for pre-interrogation. And then after that, they came to my house, searched my house. And they took many things from my house. And then they took me in prison. I was in prison for almost two months. And the most of my time, I was in solitary confinement in prison. So I'm telling all of these things not to be sorry for me. And not to really be sad for me. I'm really, it's an honor for me to be persecuted for Jesus. It's a privilege for me to really persecuted because of his name. And it's really an honor for me as well also to stand here and testify when I persecuted, how God helped me. Wow. So it was a time that I was in prison. You know, when as a human being, when this kind of things happening to you all of a sudden, because we all of a sudden, you know, arrested. You know, they attacked to the house. All of a sudden, everything, you know, the collapse, everything, you know, just going a mess. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether I think about the church, whether I think about my family, about my future. I was in solitary confinement in the first night, and I really wanted to share with you. I was really confused. I didn't know even how to pray. I didn't know how to think. I didn't know how even to concentrate. But some of the things happened to me that I want to really capture it in three things and say to you for tonight, sharing with you tonight, three things that has really helped me at those times. The first one was the power of Holy Spirit, because I didn't know what to do at that time. I really didn't know. So the moment came to me that I said, oh, Lord, how can I pray? I don't know whether I pray for myself, for my church, for my family. I didn't know. And Holy Spirit helped me. Holy Spirit remind me some of the words. Some of the Holy Spirit even comfort me. And it's really true. When you read it in the Bible, I'm telling you, I'm testifying to you tonight. That's really Holy Spirit comfort you. Holy Spirit direct you. Holy Spirit help you even to think. And it just remind me the words that when you are weak, you pray. Because Holy Spirit, even in your weakness, help you how to pray. Even you don't know how to pray. So I speak in tongues and I pray to God. Holy Spirit, I ask Holy Spirit and he helped me. He helped me and reminds me so many verses. It reminds me that this is the time that you need to stand. And really help me, reminds me all of the words. But reminds me the words that I really read it. And really studied. So the second thing that I want to encourage you, rooted in the words of God. Rooted in the words of God is very important. As much as you rooted in the words of God, you would have greater faith. Because the Bible says, faith comes from hearing. Right. And hearing through the word of God. So the more you hear, the more you're rooted in the word of God, good, the more your faith would be greater. That's really true and happened to me. So remind me all the verses and remind me and encourage me at those times. So the last thing that I want to encourage you, the first one, Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the last one is a spiritual family, having a spiritual family. You know, the time that I was in prison, I didn't know that thousands of people praying for me. Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know that from Manila, from South Africa, from New Zealand, from North America, all they are praying for me. And you know, when I released, I came here to Malaysia, there was a conference here. And I also attended to that conference. One of the pastors from Manila came to me. One of the great pastors that I know in Manila. He came to me and he hugged me. I said, "Nice to meet you." And I said, "Yeah, I am also very glad to see you." And I said, "You know, for 1 year, the white wallpaper of my computer was your picture. And I pray for you." Wow. And I cry. And you just remind me the time that I get a strength and power in cell, it was not me. It was the prayer. And it just remind me the verse that Paul mentioned in the book of Philippians. Because he wrote to the church of Philippi and said, "You guys, as long as you keep praying for me and Holy Spirit keep providing for me, I'll be fine." And it's really true. It's happened to me. The people pray for me. And this thing actually happened to me, not to shrinking back. So I'll share with you more about my story and the things that are happening. But for today, I want to just put these three things to you. And it's really help you not to shrinking back.
Wow. Come on, let's give God praise for that. Come on. Right? How many of you are blessed with that? Yeah. Every time I hear that, I feel so encouraged. You know, because we don't actually go through all that. I mean, we are blessed here in Malaysia. You know, especially in the Philippines. I mean, the Philippines is even more liberal. But here, you know, we don't get people knocking our doors and you get arrested and all that. You know, I've never gone through all that. The closest persecution I ever got was when I told my dad that I'm a Christian. And then he wanted to disown me. I mean, I shared that last week, right? And but because I'm the son, you know, the son can't do anything wrong, so he blamed my wife. So, you know, so I got away with that. You know, my wife took all the persecution. You know, but I remember a time when I was working, I just landed in Manila not very long ago, and then my wife was having dinner with all my bosses. I mean, there were six of us at the table. We went to an Italian restaurant. Tan Sri Kwek was there, executive chairman, and then his brother. You know, group MD of Hong Kong, Goko Hong Kong, then the group CFO, the group executive director, and my president. I wasn't CEO then yet. I was just the executive vice president. So I was in the company of all the big guns in my group. I was the most junior officer there, so to speak. You know, and then as we were having dinner, all of a sudden they start mocking Christianity. They start talking about what's all these born-again people doing. They all raise their hand. They do funny stuff. They speak in things that we don't understand. And at that moment, I can tell you, there's a voice that came to my head. "Say something or you're a hypocrite." And I was sitting there, "Say something." You know, I was thinking, you know, if I were to say it later, then the moment is gone. You know, so I had to say it now. And so I just plucked up my courage and I just sat up and I said, "Chairman, I'm born again." And then I looked down at my food and I ate my pasta. I was quiet. Everything was so quiet. I was saying in my mind, "Goodness, I think my career is gone." You know. And but God is good, right? I mean, God is faithful. God is good. He favors his people, and I eventually became CEO. So, you know, sometimes we go through things like that. I mean, that was probably one of the closest persecution I've got, all right, but never something like that. Okay, so we have this common belief, okay, as we become believers, we have this common belief that Christianity is there are benefits to the faith, all right? I mean, some of you do the 10-10 life will, right? How many of you do the 10-10 life will here, right? That was inspired from John 10:10, all right? The Bible says that the devil comes, okay, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." You know, I mean, here's a promise from God that if you walk with Him, you're going to have the fullness of life. Yeah. All right, you know, God can give you everything that you would ever need. Okay, He is there to walk with us. All right, and so we have this concept. You know, we believe in God for every single thing, from car park to weight loss, to a happy family, to a happy marriage, to all sorts of things, you know. And we have this mindset that God will answer my prayers. It's just so good, you know. I just can take any challenge in the world because God is with me and all that. So we have this mindset that I can prosper in the kingdom. But that's all true, okay. That's also true, all right. But when the problem comes, but when the persecution comes, when the storm of life comes against us, all of a sudden, we kind of like can't connect. You're kind of like, you know, how's it like that, you know? I mean, I thought it's supposed to be good. I remember I signed up for the prosperity plan. I never signed up for the persecution plan, you know? And after a while, you think, you know, I want to quit, all right? And so you want to quit from being a Christian. You say, you know, I mean, this is not what I signed up for, all right? But the thing is, the fact remains is that when we give our lives to Jesus, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. All right? Can we say amen to that? Amen. Right? We are citizens to his kingdom, okay? We are not from here. We are from there. But unfortunately, we are just living here, okay? Because we live here, we are subjected to the problems of the world. And the sin is the root cause of all the problems of the world, all right? But Jesus says, I've come to solve the sin problem. In fact, I've solved it already. On the cross, Jesus has solved the sin problem. All right, we can't overcome it. Okay, but it doesn't spare us the fact that we will have problems in life. All right, and so our faith can be shaken sometimes. I mean, the great men in the Bible, people like John the Baptist, you know, his faith was shaken. You know, when he was thrown in. Well, we know that John the Baptist was a guy who baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, right? I mean, he baptized him. He knew he was the Son of God, all right? But when he was thrown in prison by Herod, when he was tortured and beaten up and all that, he became to be confused. You know, he asked his disciples, go out and ask this Jesus, is he really the Messiah? You know, his faith was shaken. And how many of you know that Peter's faith was shaken, right? For 3 times he denied Jesus. So if their faith can be shaken, our faith can be shaken also. But the Bible tells us, give us some idea, okay, on how we can strengthen ourselves. All right, and so here we are. Great faith empowers us, great spiritual endurance. Okay, why do we need endurance? Because it's a lifetime walk with him. All right, it's not just tomorrow and then that's it, or just 1 week or 1 month, okay? It's a lifetime walk with him. Okay, it's the walk till the day we see Jesus in our life. All right, so it's endurance. How many of you actually do endurance sports here? I know, like, I think Brian maybe does some real boxing and all that, you know, which is endurance. Some of you, you know, are planning to run the Ironman triathlon, right? And when you want to do stuff like that, you can't just do it. You just can't say, okay, I'll do it, and then tomorrow you start doing it. It's impossible, right? Because you need to train. Right? There's a plan for that. And if you want to train for to be a triathlete, or maybe for the first 12 weeks, you have to swim for 30 minutes, you have to run for 30 minutes, and you have to bike for 30 minutes, and you do that for 12 weeks, all right, to build up your strength. And then after that, you up the ante. All right, you do 40 minutes of swimming, then you do 60 minutes of running, then you do 90 minutes of biking, and you do that maybe for the next 20 weeks, right? Because you're building strength. And so to build endurance is not so easy, all right? It takes time to build strength. It doesn't come overnight. And so here we are, when we want to build spiritual endurance, we need a plan for that, all right? And one of the things that Pastor Daniel has already mentioned, you need the Word of God in there. You need to wake up in the morning and get drowned in the Word, all right? Because the Word strengthens us, all right? The Word builds spiritual muscles. But based on the text that we've gone through just now, these are the four things that we have to remember, all right? The first word that came just now in Hebrews 10, verse 32, was to remember, okay? Remember, okay? What would you remember? You remember God's past faithfulness, all right? Then you remember that we do not walk alone, all right? We sang the song just now, we do not walk alone. Jesus says, neither will I leave you nor forsake you, okay? Nothing will separate you from the love of God, right? Jesus is always there for us, okay? The third thing is, remember our eternal reward. And last thing is, you can remember who we are, all right? And so let's talk about remembering God's past faithfulness, okay? We build spiritual milestones of faith. I mean, that's my own version of it, okay? You know, why do we do that? Because God builds our faith, all right? He knows us. He doesn't allow things that we cannot bear. I mean, he will not allow problems to come into our lives that we cannot actually bear. God knows the limit of our endurance itself. And so when God builds our faith, he's going to take you through small challenges, things that you can overcome, And each time when you overcome that, you build a spiritual muscle. Right? You gain strength. And when you remember that, that moment when you encounter God, that moment, that feeling of that encounter with God, you keep it as a milestone. You store it up. All right? You store it up, okay? And then God will do that. He will, after you pass that test, another test will come. Another test will come. And you will overcome it. And each time you overcome something, your spiritual muscles grow. And you file this up in your milestones, all right? So that when the big things of life comes against you, you look back and you see his faithfulness, all right? And that's what happened to Abraham, all right? Abraham was a man of faith. He encountered God. Each time he encountered God, he built an altar. That's his milestone, all right? He put a few stones up, you know, and then he believed that was the place when I encountered God. I built to remember that was my encounter with God. Builds his faith. Four times in the Bible, he built his altar because he remembered what God did for him, all right? And King David, we all know King David. King David is a mighty warrior, okay? But during this time, in Psalms 13, right, he was going through a terrible problem, all right? He was being chased by King Saul, because King Saul was jealous of him. He was a mighty warrior, all right, and he was being chased out. So he's running away. He's hiding in caves. He's running off to every town. He's going from town to town. He's hiding. Okay? And so he cries out to God. In Psalms 13, there's only 6 verses. Okay, but 4 times in that verses, he says, "How long?" He says, "How long will you forget me?" He's asking God. "How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I have to wrestle all these things in my head?" Right? And how long will my enemies triumph against me? And he's crying out to God. But on the 6th verse, this is what he said. He said, "I will sing to the Lord because he has been good to me." You know, his situation hasn't changed. He was still running away from King Saul, who was going to kill. He didn't change, but his perspective changed, because as he looked back, he says, "Lord, as I look back, the times when I was young, when I fought the bear, I beat the bear. When I was young, when I fought Goliath, I beat Goliath. Okay, the times when I had to fight the enemies, I won the battles." And when he saw the success that he had, how faithful was God to him, when he saw that, his face built up. And he raised up his hand and said, "I will sing to God. I will sing to my God. I will praise him." And that's how it is. He built faith. He built faith because he had milestones that he can look back to. Right? So I want to encourage you, you know, When God takes you through a situation, you remember that. You put that finger on that. You remember how it was. And you keep it as a milestone for you to remember by. When the big things in life come against you, you have something to pull up to build your faith. All right? You got that? Amen? All right, good. We move on. Second one. We do not walk alone. All right? That Hebrews 10:33 says, we stood side by side with those who were so treated. So God was reminding them that during those times when there was heavy persecution, these Hebrew people stood side by side with others and encouraged them. And if they stood side by side with others, then today someone will stand side by side with you. Aside from God, obviously, Jesus says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But spiritual family, what Pastor Daniel was saying, someone, some people is going to stand with you, hold arms with you, lock arms with you, and walk with you during your most difficult times, during the most difficult persecutions, all right? Somebody will walk with you, and that's what it is, okay, that we do not walk alone. We have spiritual family who will stand and pray for you, right? And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:23-25, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know what God is saying is that, okay, don't lose your confidence in me, all right? Don't be swayed by the problems that you see, because I'm bigger than the problem. God is telling you, I'm bigger than any problem that you ever come across, because I'm Lord of the problem itself, all right? And so he says, let's hold unswervingly to the hope that you have, okay? And let us spur one another. Let's encourage one another towards love and good deeds. Let us encourage one another. Let us not giving up meeting together. And this is what we do. We meet once a week as a church. We meet, we worship God, we build our faith, all right? And we hear the word of God and we strengthen ourselves. This is what we do. Okay. Aside from that, we have life groups. As I mentioned earlier, we meet together, maybe 10, 15 of us sometimes. Okay, we meet together and we pray for one another. We hear the challenges that we get. Some of them can be in business, some of them can be health issues or whatever, or relationship issues. But when we sit down together and as we read the word, as we pray together, all right, something happens in the spiritual. Something happens for us. Alright, because God is there with us. Alright. And so Bible says here that you know what? Don't stop giving up meeting one another. Okay. Go attend your life group. Okay. Don't go run away in so many things. You know what? Sometimes when you look at your, you know, what did Jenny say? She said, what's that one thing? What's that one thing that will make your difference? All right, what's that one thing? Okay. Sometimes you look at your diary and you say you've got 10 things in the week. Alright, you're diluted 10 ways. You have 10 goals to meet. Right? The thing is that when you're doing an accounting group, you have 10 goals to meet. You will push back the goal that's easiest to let go, which is yourself. All right? Sometimes I will not meet my family because that's the one I'm in total control, but I've got to do something from some others because if I don't do it, okay, I am in breach of my goal. All right? So you choose and you pick the things that you want. All right? Bible tells us, don't stop meeting one another. Attend your life group. Read the word of God. Pray for one another. And that's what it encourages us to do. And he says that it's a habit of doing. So make it a habit. Make it a habit. Okay, in fact, our life groups are once every 2 weeks. In fact, we should be doing it every week, actually. All right. But we're doing it every once every two. But that's okay. All right. But let it be a habit for us. Okay. And so the next one is, remember your leaders. You don't walk alone because you remember Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You know what? A good leader must first be a good follower. Right? You never learn to follow, you can never be a leader. Until you learn from others how it's done. You know, I was in the Philippines. I worked in the Philippines for 20 over years, and my pastor is in the Philippines, and Pastor Joy Bonifacio. He was a businessman turned pastor, all right. And I look at his life. Okay, the Bible says that you know, look at the outcome of their way of life, look at how their lifestyle is, how they do things, all right. And what happened to that? Imitate their faith, all right. I see how he treats his wife. I see how he handles his children. I see how he does his business. In fact, I heard him one time say this. Okay, his business was down. All right, he's an entrepreneur. He does multi-level marketing. All right, and his business was down. And he mentioned to me, he was in a pulpit. He mentioned that his business was down. He couldn't pay his bank loans, but he says we must not let our creditors believe that we are irresponsible and that we are running away from our responsibility. We must make sure that even though I'm in debt and I have no capacity to pay all today, but I will sit down with them and I will pay whatever I can. And so he mentioned that every Friday, he says, I know I can't pay, but every Friday he will go to the bank, make an appointment with the branch manager and pay whatever he can pay, whether it's 100 pesos, whether it's 10,000 pesos, whatever he has, every Friday he will go and pay to let the bank know that he is not running away. And when I heard that, my business was booming at that time, all right? 3 years down the road, when the Asian crisis hit, boy, you know, everything collapsed for me. Okay? And when I had to see the banks, I remember what he said, you know. I didn't follow exactly what he did because that was suitable for him, but I learned the principle of why he did it. Okay? And the principle was that never let your creditor believe that you're going to run away. Okay, because if they think that you're going to run away, they're going to come after you, all right? And I go and I talk to the banks, and I keep negotiating. I talk and talk and talk for 10 years until I paid it, okay? I keep talking every time, talk and talk and talk. That's the only capital that I have, my words. Please, we're not running away. We're still in business. We are still working on. We're still there. We're going to pay you eventually, but we are there. We are not running. You know, we keep talking and keep talking. I learn from my leaders. I learned how he treats his wife, how he does his marriage. I learned how he raises his children, okay? And we apply that. And so, we don't walk alone. You want to build faith? you watch your leaders. I watch Pastor Timothy, our senior pastor. I'm now doing ministry, and I am a newbie in ministry, you know, and I watch him. I see what he does, how does he preach, how does he do, what does he think, you know. And that's what we do, all right? So you look to someone who has gone through it, and you learn from them, okay? And that's how it is that we build faith, we build strength, right, to meet our challenges, all right? And so, thirdly is the remember our eternal reward, all right? Hebrews 10:37, he says that for in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. You know, we always say this, you know, Jesus has come before, he's come once before, he's come and sacrificed his life on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins, okay? Jesus has done that, he has solved our sin problem, but he will come again. And this time when he comes, we will reunite with him. So that's an eternal reward that we look forward to, the day when we can reunite. But eternal rewards are not meant for the sometime in the future. It's meant for us even today. Today, you can receive that eternal reward, right? You know, when God forgives us of our sins. You know, the day when I gave my life to Jesus, it's like I feel a big burden is taken off my life. I believe, I just felt, you know, that I'm worthy now, you know. And that's the feeling that you have to hang on to. That's the joy, the salvation that you hang on to. That's your eternal reward. Okay, you cannot let that go, right? I before I met Christ, I was successful. I was a CFO of a very large Hong Leong public company. We were doing well. Okay, but in my mind is that I still had to do some more. Okay, I went into feng shui, I went all sorts of things, and it got worse. Okay? The day I put my trust in anything, it got worse until I received Jesus in my life. When I received Jesus in my life, I just felt, all right, the burden just taken off. I just felt that I did not have to fight this alone. In this whole life of mine, God has a plan for me. God has a better plan for me. You know, I just felt that feeling of love from Him, that freedom from sin. You know, and that's the eternal reward that we get. Now, today, every time we come and worship God, when we raise our hands and worship Him, we feel the presence of God. That's the eternal reward that's priceless. It's precious to us, all right? So don't forget that. God is real, you know? When I gave my life to Jesus, 1 week later, I was still smoking and anything, you know? I remember 1 week later, I told God, Lord, you to help me from this, and He delivered me from smoking. That moment when He took away, I remember that. Until today, I remember that. You know, I keep that in my heart, you know? I treasure that. I remember that. Every time I go through a big problem, I know God is faithful. He has done it for me. He'll do it for me again. All right? And so that's what it is. Right? You keep that memory of the eternal rewards that you have already. All right? And I want to close now. All right? I want to close now. Maybe the team can come up. You know? We got to remember who we are. Okay? And I think I just want to encourage you all to read this with me. Okay? Hebrews 10:39 says this. All right? Let's read this together. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. All right? God is telling us we are a people of faith. All right? We are people of faith. We don't need to shrink back because our God is faithful. Our God is bigger than any persecution, any problem that we face. He is there for us. Right? No matter what we go through, okay, He will not allow us to be destroyed by the situation, right? He will not allow us. He will be there for us. And so this is who we are. We are the people who are faith, and we are people who will be saved, all right? So I just want to encourage you, all right? We have to develop that great faith to have spiritual endurance. We just need to remember God's faithfulness in our life. Do not lose that confidence. Whatever that He has done for us before, He can do it again today. So treasure that, okay, and we can really walk through this, like overcome our situations. May I ask you to just stand? We're just going to worship for a while, but before we do that, I just want to pray for you guys. I know we're going to pray for some of you who may be facing serious persecution, or may be facing some serious problems, and you're not sure where you want to go, you're a bit confused. We just want to pray for you, but before we do that, I just want to ask, you know, maybe all heads bow, and if I will ask you to just bow your head, you know, it's between you and God right now, right? If you're here today and you hear this message and you think it makes sense to you, resonates with you, and you want Jesus in your life, and you say that, you know, I've I've not experienced that eternal rest. I've not experienced that joy that I have. You know, I've been going through problems after problems. You know, I solve one problem, another problem comes up. You know, I solve another problem, another one comes up. It's like never-ending lives, like never-ending problems. You know, I never really felt that joy. And you said, you know, I want Jesus. I just want to experience you today. I want you to, if that's you, between you and God, no one's watching, between you and God, if that's you, just raise up your hand and we'll pray with you. Right, I see those hands. Right, I see those hands. Yeah. That's you. All right. Very good. If you have lifted up your hands, you know, just follow me in prayer right now. Follow me in prayer. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I thank you that you died on the cross. That you paid the penalty of my sins. That I may have eternal life today. So I repent of my sins. I turn away from them and turn to you as my Lord and Savior. And right now, I receive this gift of eternal life. I treasure it and I pray that you teach me to read your Bible, that I can be strengthened, that I can know you more. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. If you're going through some serious problems today, right, we want to pray with you. We want to stand together with you, all right? Whatever problem may be, you know, for some you may think that it's very small, but for others it can be a huge thing, all right? But if that's you, you are going through something, just lift up your hand. We'll pray with you today. Business, health, whatever, family. All right. So let's stand with our brothers here. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. You see these hands, oh God, Lord. Lord, you see these people, you know the situation they're going through. Lord, indeed, we believe that you are bigger than their problems, oh God. So Lord, we ask today that you will intervene in their situations. You will bring forth a change, oh God, a transformation that will come, Lord, into their lives, oh God, Lord, that they will see your goodness, oh God. So Lord, whatever they're going through right now, we ask that you bring comfort. Lord, even during this time of grief, you bring peace as well. You will cause things to change for the better, oh God. And so, Lord, we just stand with them even today as a church, oh God, Lord. We come in faith and believe that things will turn around for them and they will come even to testify of your goodness, oh Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for this and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen? Right, so we're going to worship God, and then before we go, just...